All right, turn your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4, good to be back with you this evening. How many of you got a Sunday afternoon nap today, amen? How many of you did not and you're ticked off about it, amen? Amen. All right, well, it's good to be here. Appreciate the Hatcher family not only allowing us to stay there in the missions house, but also feeding us a good meal for lunch today. Had a good time of fellowship with them. Appreciate that. Very much so, amen. I want to get right into the Word of God tonight. I do thank those of you that bought things off of our table even this morning, and we'll make a guarantee with you. If you don't like the preaching, the CDs always make good coasters for your drinks, amen. So appreciate you, those of you that did buy things off of our table. And we'll just say this, that everything that we do make on the table goes towards missions, and as Brother Evans said earlier today, I have gone over to the Philippines for the last 5 years with Brother John Robertson and Brother Ken Graham and them. And this year we're just taking off, but still yet we still, everything that we make on the table goes towards missions. And we not only support missions through our local church there at Calvary Baptist Church in Eufaula, Oklahoma, but also be able to pay for the expenses of the mission trip. And for the last 3 years off the CD table, God has allowed us not only to be able to send ourselves over there and take care of the expenses while there, but God lay a preacher on my heart, and we've been able to pay full expense paid trip over to the Philippines through the money that we make on the CD table. And all the single CDs are $5 a piece. And then we have some series sets back there. We have, how many of you got lost family, friends, or coworkers? How many of us? Probably all of us do. And maybe you've invited them, and you've invited them, and you've invited them to church, and they just haven't come to church yet. But perhaps they'll put a CD in the CD player. I've got a series set back there called Simple Gospel Messages, and my wife took her favorite gospel messages that I preach and combined them into a series set. And so we've got Simple Gospel Messages. Actually, the message that I preached this morning on Calvary is on that series set. And then I've got another series set called the Consistent Christian Life series set. And you understand there's a danger to inconsistency as far as walking with God. Just ask King David. King David should have been leading his troops into battle, but he tarried still in Jerusalem, the Bible says. And as a result of David's inconsistency, he committed a sin that forever altered his life and the lives of all others around him. So preach a series set on the consistent Christian life. And then I've got a series set back there. Basically, I meant it for teenagers, but I believe all of us could get something out of it, called the Finish Well series. And I don't know about you, I want to finish well, amen. Brother Evans, I've seen a lot of people start well, but not everybody that starts well finishes well, so I want to finish well. And then something brand new to the CD table, just been on there a couple of months now, and it's the Precepts from the Prodigal Son. And got a series set back there, and actually working on a new series set back there. The message that I preach in Sunday School Hour on compassion is on that series set. All the series sets are $25 a piece, but if you want three or more at one time, you can have them for $20 a piece, meaning if you wanted three series set, you can have them for $60 or four for $80. And then we have the CD of the Month Club, and basically we have a card back there. You put your name and address on that card, and you pick whatever CD you want off the CD table, two CDs that you want off the CD table this week, and then every other month you'll get two brand new CDs waiting for you. And it's an equivalent of 12 CDs for the entire year for $50, and we are able to take cash, checks, and credit cards. And I used to say that we would even take bologna sandwiches. But I was in a church somewhere up north. I can't remember where it was. I said that one night and got to church. Well, matter of fact, I believe it was at John Robertson's over there a couple of years ago. I said, I will even take bologna sandwiches, and got to church that night and had about a half a dozen bologna sandwiches waiting for me. So we don't. I still like bologna sandwiches, but not that much. Amen. So, but anyway, you come by the CD table and we'll. And if you say, Brother Dallas, what message could help me in this situation or that circumstance, we'll try to lead you in the right direction, amen. So Mark chapter number 4 tonight, if you find your place, let's all stand as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I want to preach a message of help to us. It may take me a little bit of introductory and introduction and foundation of the message to get into it, but I want to preach a message of help to each and every one of us tonight. Mark chapter number 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 35. The Bible says, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over into the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now look, chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, and they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do love you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the good Sunday morning, Lord, that you gave us this morning, the good liberty to preach. And dear God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for, I believe it's Ethan that got saved. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd work in his life. And dear God, I pray, Lord, that you do a great work here tonight. Lord, speak to hearts, Lord, only like you can. And we'll thank you for it. In your precious name I pray. Amen. It was Ethan, right? Ethan, amen. And Noah was the one that invited him to church and witnessed to him. Is that correct? Amen. Well, great. Amen. Good to see you here tonight, Ethan. We all have, if you've been in church any length of time at all, you've heard messages preached from this portion of Scripture. We all like songs sung about this portion of Scripture, where Jesus is out there with his disciples on the ship, and they're about to go over to the other side. And they, in fact, did pass over to the other side. But before they did, there was a storm that came along the way, and the disciples began to become very fearful. And they even asked Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? And the Bible records that Jesus stood out on the bow of that ship, and he said those three masterful words, peace be still. And we'll find that sea lay down like glass as soon as he said those words. And you understand who was on the ship with Jesus. We need to understand who was on the ship with Jesus. This was his inner circle of disciples. For lack of a better term, these disciples, they rubbed elbows with Jesus. They not only saw his private life, but they not only saw his public life, but they saw his private life as well. These disciples were there with Jesus when he performed many miracles. They saw him allow the blind eyes to see, the deaf ears to hear, the lame to walk. They would be with Jesus in the very next chapter when that woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years somehow, some way, fought her way through that crowd and touched the hem of the Savior's garment, and she was made whole immediately that very moment. Now, we need to stop right there for a minute, church, and this isn't the message tonight, but we need to understand that woman was not healed because she touched the hem of the Savior's garment. She was healed because of the God in the garment, the Lord Jesus Christ. They would be there when Jesus would take that little lad's lunch with 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed that great multitude of people that was following him and starving for days with that 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So they would see many miracles before, they would see many miracles after, and for one split second, they began to become very fearful. And Jesus asked them a very sobering question in verse number 40. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. Look at verse number 40. The Bible says that he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have? Now I want you to underscore these next two words. No faith. Jesus did not ask them, how is it that you have some faith? He didn't say, how is it that you have little faith? He said, how is it that you've come to the place where you have no faith? Can I ask us tonight, child of God, have you ever been to the place in the Christian life where you've had no faith? I know I sure have. Can we be reminded tonight that no faith equals unanswered prayers? No faith to the lost sinner equals no salvation. Can I say tonight, church, no faith in revival will absolutely equal out to no revival to Calvary Baptist Church in Flora, Illinois, amen. Can we also be reminded that it is displeasing to our Heavenly Father when His children do not have faith in Him. Can we be reminded? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. You say, Brother Dallas, what is faith? Well, the Bible records in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You say, well, Brother Dallas, what is that substance? Thank God tonight that substance is this old King James Bible, amen. And as I read this Bible, I notice that men, women, boys and girls, they lived by faith in God in this Bible, and they were able to get over to the other side by living in faith. And I also understand as I read my Bible that I serve a God that is not a respecter of persons, and He doesn't love any man, woman, boy or girl in this Bible more than He loves you and more than He loves me. And if the men, women, boys and girls in this Bible could live by faith, you and I can live by faith as well, amen. The Bible also says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. So then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of Oprah, and hearing by the word of Dr. Phil. No, but it's sad to say that that's how many Americans live their life, by what Oprah says or by what Dr. Phil says. But thank God tonight, as a blood-bought child of God, you and I can live by faith in what God says, amen. And the Bible says, well, then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And child of God, that's why it's so very important that every blood-bought child of God is at the house of God every time we should be at the house of God. Why? Because the man of God is going to open up the word of God and preach, thus saith the Lord, and that will help increase our faith in this wicked world that we live in. Have you ever been to the place where you've had no faith? I know I have. My wife and I got married. I left my parents' house for the last time as a single man on June the 16th, 2007. And my parents have been forever grateful since that day, I can promise you that. My wife and I got married. We moved out to Jacksonville, North Carolina. And I was, just to make a long story short, or a short story longer, amen, anyway, I was on what they would call a revival team while I was in the little Bible college that I went to. They either had singing groups or they had young men that would go out on a revival team, and I didn't make the singing group, so they drew the short straw and I got on the revival team. And one of the churches we went to was the Grace Baptist Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Pastor Randy Roberts is his name. And the dean of men, Brother Stephen Barnes, that's a missionary over in Guam now, he would take us young men. We would go to different churches for a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday type service. And we would help the church with anything that needed to be done. We would paint walls. We would dig. We even dug a French drain one time. We would help with any kind of physical labor that needed to be done, cut grass or whatever. And we would also help saturate areas and knock doors. And we would hold youth meetings on those Saturday nights. And one of those churches was the Grace Baptist Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And we were going to hold a youth revival, I believe either that Friday or Saturday night. And the half a dozen of us young preachers were sitting there on the front row, and Brother Barnes was going to preach the youth meeting that night, and Brother Roberts, the pastor of the church, got up, and he could have picked any of those young men to come up and preach there that night, but he didn't just pick any young man. He looked at me and he said, Brother Dallas, he said, come up here before Brother Barnes preaches and give us a five-minute message. Now, church, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Those five-minute messages are long gone, amen. But anyway, I got up and I turned my Bible to Psalm chapter 84 and verse number 10, where David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And little did I know, but I believe the God of heaven knew, that that was Brother Robert's life verse, amen. And God just kind of knitted our hearts together. And I got saved later on in life. I got saved at 22 years old. And after I got saved, I got on a Greyhound bus and went to Joplin, Missouri to truck driving school. And I drove a tractor trailer in the city of Memphis for 10 years after I got saved and went through Bible college, and I was preaching out quite a bit even after I graduated Bible college. But now that I don't drive a tractor trailer in Memphis, the streets of Memphis are a lot safer, I can promise you that, amen. But I was backed up to a truck dock there a few weeks after that particular time that we was there in Jacksonville, and I was getting my truck loaded, and Brother Roberts called me. He said, Brother Chris, He said, I know that you have the desire to go in evangelism, and I know that you feel like God's called you in evangelism. He said, I want to do something for you. He said, I want you to pray about coming out here and working on staff at Grace Baptist Church. You would be the bus director. You'd be the soul winning coordinator. You'd vacuum the floors. You'd clean the toilets. Whatever needed to be done around the church, he said, that'd be your responsibility. But you would also have the freedom and the liberty to be able to set up revival meetings across the country. And so he knew that my wife and I were dating at that time. I was very serious, and I was about to propose to her. And so I proposed to her. We got married on June the 16th, 2007, and we moved out to, our moving truck was on the way to Jacksonville, North Carolina. The day that we got married, we went on a vacation, or we went on a honeymoon to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And after we finished our honeymoon in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, we drove over to Jacksonville, North Carolina. And we came to the city limit signs of Jacksonville, North Carolina, and it said population such and such. And her and I were both young and dumb back then in those days. And my wife is still young and I'm still dumb, amen. I almost said that backwards. I'm young and she's still dumb, but I'm glad I didn't, amen. But anyhow, we grabbed each other's hand and we said, no matter how hard it gets, we're never going to quit doing what God had called us to do. Little did we know how quickly that would become tested. After about 6 months of working on staff there at the church, and I didn't have any revival meetings up to this point. I may have preached out a time or two, but no revival meetings to say the least. And my wife taught at the Christian school. And after about 6 months of working on staff there, the preacher called me in his office. And he said, Brother Chris, he said, as of today, you're no longer on the payroll staff of Grace Baptist Church. He said, the church has hit financial rock bottom and we're no longer able to pay you. And he said, as of today, you're no longer on staff here at Grace Baptist Church as far as payroll staff. Can I say, you're talking about being at the place where I absolutely had no faith. Now, I'm sure nobody here has ever done this. I'm the only person here tonight that ever has ever done this. But I began to question God. I began to say, God, how in the world am I going to be able to make it? God, how am I going to be able to pay the rent on my apartment? How am I going to be able to pay the insurance on the car? God, how am I going to be able to take care of my new bride, put food on the table? I began to question God. I was at the place where I had no faith. Nikita was in the school there that day, and I went home there that afternoon, and after he told me that, and I memorized frontwards and backwards what I was going to do and how I was going to present it to Nikita. I didn't have any revival meetings up to this point, but my first series of meetings, that was on a Friday, my first series of meetings started on that Sunday in the state of Pennsylvania. It wasn't revival meetings, it was six different churches in a two-week span. I was going to preach in one church Sunday morning, another church Sunday night, another church Wednesday night. Another church the next Sunday morning, another church the next Sunday night, another church the next Wednesday night. Six different churches in a two-week span. But I memorized frontwards and backwards at home what I was going to do. I was going to call all those preachers and tell them that I wasn't going to be able to come to Pennsylvania and preach those meetings. And come Monday, I was going to go out in town, put in some applications, and get me a truck driving job. And at least I could have some income coming in to where I could put food on the table and pay bills. So Nikita got home, and I was waxed eloquent, amen. And I sat her down and told her what I was going to do, and I was going to call those churches and tell them I wasn't going to be able to come and preach those meetings, and I was going to go get a job and be able to have some income coming in. And my wife looked at me, and she said, well, what about the promise we made when we first came to town? But no matter how hard it got, we weren't going to quit on God. Amen. And she said, Chris, she said, you're going to pack your bags, and you're going to Pennsylvania to preach. Can I say, I appreciate my wife's spirituality, but she gets a little bossy at times, amen. So, Brother Evans, I packed my bag, and I went to Pennsylvania to preach. I preached Sunday morning, I preached Sunday night, I preached Wednesday night, another Sunday morning, another Sunday night, Wednesday night. Man, I gave it everything I could to faithfully preach the Word of God. Can I say, church, what I'm about to tell you, please don't take this as a pity party, or please don't take this as me throwing out a fleece, because I'm not doing that in any stretch of the imagination, because God has been faithful to my wife and I, and God has faithfully taken care of us these last 10 years on the road. But you understand, I'm just saying this for sake of illustration for the message tonight. God takes care of my wife and I in evangelism through the love offerings of God's people. And when those 2 weeks were up in Pennsylvania, preaching in six different churches, when the 2 weeks were up, taking care of my food and fuel and all those things, expenses, I did not even have enough money to put gas in the car to get from Pennsylvania back to North Carolina, 8 hours away. You're talking about being at the place where I had no faith. You're talking about questioning God. God, here I am. I'm fulfilling your will for my life. I'm doing exactly what you've called me to do. And now, God, you brought me out to Pennsylvania, and I'm faithfully proclaiming the word of God. And now, God, I don't even have enough expenses to get home from Pennsylvania to North Carolina. Nikita scraped up some money, put some money in the bank, and I was able to get from Pennsylvania to North Carolina. That whole 8-hour trip from Pennsylvania to North Carolina, I made my mind up what I was going to do. I didn't care what God said. I didn't even care what she said. Come Monday, I was going to go put in some applications, and I was going to get me a truck driving job. I got home late that Saturday evening, and that next Sunday morning, I was to preach in a little town called Williamston, North Carolina, the Freedom Baptist Church for Pastor J.T. Edwards. I still preach revivals for Pastor Edwards even to this day. So we got in the car there that morning, and I put the address in the GPS, and we began to make our journey. The whole time I was discouraged and despondent, to say the least, not knowing how in the world I was going to be able to make it. But man, I still went and preached for Brother Edwards there that morning and that night. And well, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but the GPS took us the wrong direction there that day. And I was about 15 or 20 minutes late for church. How many of that's ever happened to you? Amen. And I really don't know if it was the GPS's fault, but I'm just too prideful to blame it on myself, to be honest with you. And we got to church about 15 or 20 minutes late there that day, and walked inside, and Sunday school had already started, and there was glass at the back of the auditorium, and you could look inside the auditorium. And I began to count the number of people that were inside that church. And I counted a grand total of 14 people inside that church. I began to question God again. I began to say, God, here I am. I just left Pennsylvania and preached in churches that had well over 200. And they weren't able to take care of my needs. And now, God, you brought me to this little rinky-dink church in Williamson, North Carolina with 14 people. God, if the churches in Pennsylvania couldn't take care of me, this church is not going to be able to take care of me. You understand, church? I was looking at it all wrong. I was expecting those in the pew to take care of my needs instead of the God that put the call in my life to begin with to take care of my needs. That Sunday morning, that Sunday night, I gave it everything I could to preach the word of God. The whole time I was discouraged, despondent, on the brink of depression, to say the least, not knowing how in the world I was going to be able to make it or be able to survive. The preacher gave me an envelope with what he said the love offering was, and I just tucked it in the back of my Bible, and Nikita and I got in the car, and we began to make our way back 2 hours away to Jacksonville, North Carolina. And somewhere along the way down the road, I saw that envelope sticking out of my Bible, and I took that envelope out and I opened up that envelope. And when I looked inside that envelope, tears began to stream down my face, because that church there in Williamson, North Carolina, just gave us three times the amount of all the churches combined in the state of Pennsylvania. And can I say there that night, God settled in my heart and God settled in my mind, the same God that saved me and the same God that called me was the same God that was responsible to take care of my needs. And you say, well, Brother Dallas, how does that apply to my life tonight? Can I say that your need tonight may not be for God to take care of you, the love offers of God's people, but your need may be for God to get a hold of that wayward son or daughter. Your need may be for God to heal that lost loved one in the hospital. Your need may be for God to keep the lights on or put food on the table. My friend, the same God that saves you by the good grace of God is the same God that will take care of your needs along this journey called life. Amen. Can I ask, make sure I'm not on a lonely island by myself? I'm not the only one that's ever been to the place in the Christian life where I've had no faith in. Is there anybody else here like that tonight? I want to preach to us very quickly tonight on how we get to that place. How did the disciples get to the place where Jesus said, how is it that you have no faith? Well, better yet, how do you and I get to the place where we have no faith? First of all, look at it with me tonight. Look at verse number 35. Mark chapter 4, look at verse number 35. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. The Bible says, in the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now look at chapter 5, verse number 1. And they came over I'm to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Church, you want me to tell you how the disciples got to the place where they had no faith? You want me to tell you how you and I get to the place where we have no faith? First of all, when we lose sight of the Lord's promises, amen. When we lose sight of the Lord's promises, I understand that I touched on it a little bit this morning, but my friend, we serve a God that cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. If he lied, he wouldn't be God. But thank God this morning, when the Lord Jesus Christ told them, let's pass over to the other side, they all they had to do was just put the raincoats on and realize that they were going to pass over to the other side. Thank God tonight, when Jesus gives us a promise, he's going to come through with that promise, amen. There may be somebody here this evening. You may be a new Christian. You may be a new church member. You just cannot, for the life of you, even comprehend this thing called tithing. How in the world can I give God 10% and I keep 90%? And how in the world could that 90% go further than if I rob God and keep 100%? You said, Brother Dallas, I need somebody to explain it. Well, let me explain it this way. Your preacher cannot fully explain it. This preacher cannot fully explain it. There's not a person on the face of the earth that can fully explain it, but I can read what the Bible says. David said, I have been young and now am old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And my friend, it's not our responsibility to fully explain it. It's our responsibility just to trust God and realize that God is going to come through on the other end, amen. There may be somebody here tonight that you're grieving. No doubt in my mind tonight that that family that just lost their daddy and her husband and a son, they're grieving tonight. But thank God my Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen. Thank God tonight the disciples got to the place where they had no faith. And you and I get to the place where we have no faith when we lose sight of the Lord's promises. Amen. Turn your Bibles very quickly to 1 Kings chapter number 8 with me tonight. Look at 1 Kings chapter number 8. Now, I am in a Bible-believing church, aren't I? Amen. Don't we believe the Bible? Look at 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 56. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There have not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Look at Numbers 23 with me tonight. Look at Numbers 23. Numbers 23, look at verse number 19. The Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? My friend, when God gives us a promise, we're going through with that promise. Thank God I am one of his children. He is my father, and my father is very capable and very responsible to take care of his children through this journey called life, amen. And when he gives us a promise, he's coming through with that promise. Amen. Brother Dallas, how did the disciples come to the place where they have no faith? Well, first of all, they came to that place because they lost sight of his promises. Second of all, look at verse number 36. Turn your Bibles back to Mark chapter 4, and we'll spend the remainder of our time in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Look at verse number 36. Mark chapter 4, verse number 36. The Bible says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even, look at what it says, as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Brother Dallas, how did the disciples get to the place where they had no faith? Well, first of all, they lost sight of the Lord's promises. And second of all, they lost sight of the Lord's presence. You understand, Jesus did not stay on the bank
and was continuing to give parables to the multitude and just told the disciples, you get on the ship and you pass over to the other side. No, no, no. Jesus got on that ship with him and he said, let us pass over to the other side. Jesus was ever present with them as they were passing over to the other side. Jesus was present with them when they were going through the storms of life. And my friend, thank God tonight, if you're a blood-bought child of God, he lives inside of you tonight. And when we go through the storms of life and we go through trials and tribulations, we're not going through those storms alone. Jesus is going through those storms with us. Amen. You understand, the very moment that we were saved by the grace of God, God the Holy Ghost come to live inside of us. I used to call him the third part of the Godhead, but that belittles God the Holy Ghost. Because God the Holy Ghost is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son tonight. You've heard it like this before, I'm sure. Maybe not this particular testimony, but my wife and I, as I said, we got married on June the 16th, 2007. And that day I left my mom and dad's house. I drove over to the Bethel Baptist Church in Walls, Mississippi. And I drove around the back of the church. And you understand, my wife and I, we didn't kiss before the marriage altar. Amen. I'm thankful that I can say that tonight. And I'm not saying that I didn't want to kiss her, but I didn't grow up in church, and I didn't know anything about double dating at all. They started talking about double dating after I got saved and got in Bible college. I didn't know what double dating was. I thought double dating was when one fellow went out with two girls at the same time, amen. And as you can tell, I've never had that problem a day in my life. And it almost seemed like the life verse of the Bible college was, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. So I didn't grow up in church, but my wife did. And I knew if I would have tried to kiss her, she was an old Texas girl, she would have knocked my daylights out, amen. So we didn't kiss before the marriage altar. And so that day I left my mom and dad's house and I drove over to the Bethel Baptist Church. I was in my car all by myself when I drove to the church. And I went into a room where all the teenagers would meet on Sunday, and myself and about a half a dozen other young men put on tuxedos, and the preacher came in and said, Brother Chris, he said, the wedding's about to start. And we walked out on the platform, and my future bride was coming walking through the back door. And matter of fact, I was so nervous when the preacher said, you may now kiss the bride, I forgot to take the veil off her face, and I kissed the veil. But I can testify to you, the second kiss was a lot better than the first kiss. Amen, I can promise you that. And after the preacher pronounced his husband and wife, they had something after that that seemed like it lasted for eternity. I think they call it a wedding reception or something, amen. I believe they ought to do away with those things, but anyhow. But you understand, church, that day I got to the church by myself. But that night after the wedding ceremony and after the wedding reception, I did not leave the church by myself. My new bride went home with me, amen. She's been with me ever since by my side. Let me rewind a little bit. I told a little bit about this morning. 19 years ago, I was living in that halfway house for dope addicts and alcoholics. Got the phone call from mama, invited me to church, and I simply agreed to go to church for that night, not to hear about God, not to learn about the Lord. I simply agreed to go to church just so I could manipulate my family and please them that I was in church, and maybe they would let me get out of that halfway house and come home and live with them. Got in my car, and I drove over to the same church, the Bethel Baptist Church in Walls, Mississippi. This time, it was about a 45-minute drive. And that whole 45-minute drive from that halfway house to the Bethel Baptist Church, I was in my car all by myself. I was alone in my car all by myself. I was empty in that car all by myself. But I got to church there that night, and I heard the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bowed my head. I called on God to save my soul. And I can testify to you, my life has never been the same. And can I say, I may have got to church that night by myself, but I did not leave the church that night by myself. God the Holy Ghost went home to live with me. And my friend, your testimony and your background may be different than my testimony and my background. And praise God that it is. But if you're saved by the grace of God and you're a blood-bought child of God, my friend, the same result is the same. God, the Holy Ghost, lives inside of you. Amen. And he's going through these storms of life with you. He's ever present with us through the storms of life. Third of all, very quickly, when we lose, can y'all hear me on the second row? Everybody all right? Everybody can hear me all right? Had a little girl in Colorado come up to me not long ago after I preached. And she said, Brother Dallas, she said, you ever thought about toning it down just a little bit? And I said, no, ma'am. I said, my mom and dad always said I had a big mouth and I don't want to prove them wrong now. Amen. Look at third of all, look at verse number 39. The Bible says that he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Brother Dallas, how did the disciples get to the place where they had no faith? Well, how do you and I get to the place where we have no faith? First of all, when we lose sight of the Lord's promises. Second of all, when we lose sight of the Lord's presence. And third of all, when we lose sight of the Lord's power. When we lose sight of the Lord's power. You understand? He rebuked the wind and said, peace, be still. You understand? For a split second, as we talked about in the opening statements, the disciples forgot about the fact that he was the one that allowed the blind eyes to see, the deaf ears to hear, the lame to walk. He was the one that performed all the other miracles in times past. And can we also be reminded that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he does not change. And the same God that was capable of performing miracles in times past was the same God that is very capable of performing a miracle in our life today. Amen. Child of God, too many times we forget that the most supernatural prayer that God has ever answered in any of our lives was the day that we called upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save our soul. And the same great big God of heaven that answered that supernatural prayer of faith is the same great big God of heaven that can answer any need in our life. You're his child. He's your father. And he will take care of you along this journey called life. You got something tonight that's troubling you? Did you walk through the door tonight with the Bible tucked under your arm and a smile on your face, but as soon as you leave this place, you're facing a real deal storm of your life? Can I tell you, the same God that saved you from the eternal flames called hell is the same God that can calm the storm in your life tonight. My wife and I, we were married for about a year and a half and we lived there in the little apartment. And after that particular time in Pennsylvania and I got back to Williamston, man, God just put a fire under me. And man, From that time on, I believe God takes us through tests like that to see if we're real and if we're gonna trust in him or trust in our own efforts. And man, I guess I passed the test because God's allowed me to be able to stay busy 50 weeks a year there for the last 10 years in evangelism. And so we lived in an apartment there for about a year and a half, and I was hardly ever home. And we had prayed and prayed and prayed about whether or not to buy a home or to buy a motor home. And finally God gave us peace about buying a motor home. And we found a motor home that Holiday Rambler, 40-foot motor home that had two or three slide outs, I believe it was. And man, we found the one that we believe God would have us to get. But there was only one problem with it. In order to purchase it, we didn't have all the money to purchase it, but we had to make a 20% down payment. And there was a problem with that. The 20% down payment was $16,500. Well, there's one slight problem with that. All we had was $16.50. See, man, we didn't have $16,500. So I went to the preacher. I said, preacher, he knew that we was praying about. I said, preacher, I believe we found the motorhome that God would have us to get. I said, but there's a problem. He said, what's the problem? He said, well, I said, the problem is that we have to have $16,500 by Monday to purchase the motorhome. And there's another couple that's in line and they have the money to put down, or they have the money to pay for it all, but they're going to give us a chance to come up to $16,500. And he looked at me and he said, well, do you believe God can do it? And while I was looking at him eyeball to eyeball in his office, I said, yes, sir, I believe God can do it. But as soon as I left his office and shut the door behind me, I said, God, can you really do that? And he said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I don't want you to tell any of your family members. I don't want you to tell any of your preacher friends. He said, I don't want you to tell anybody. All I want you to do is commit it to God and pray and ask God and beg God, if you feel like this is his will, for God to provide that $16,500. So that was on a Friday. I had till Monday. So I prayed all day Friday. I prayed all day Saturday. We were preaching out somewhere that Sunday. And I still prayed that Sunday. And he just told the church that Sunday. He said, the Dallases have found the motorhome they believe God wants them to get. He said, they're going to make the down payment tomorrow. That's all that he said. So I preached out on Sunday. And on Monday, I was praying all day long. And Nikita went out in town to buy some groceries. And about 2 o'clock there that day, I had till 4 o'clock that afternoon to come up with the $16,500. And about 2 o'clock that afternoon, I was knelt down there at a recliner in that missions house, and I was praying and asking and begging God, God, somehow, some way, I don't have it, but you're the God that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and God, if it's going to come in, then God, you're going to have to provide it. And God, if it's your will, I sure pray that you would will to give us that $16,500. And while I was praying that prayer, I understand that some may hear this story and say, oh, that's just a bogus story. My friend, it is as real as I'm standing here tonight preaching this message. While I was praying that prayer, there was a knock that came on the door. And I just kept on praying. Tell you how kind of lack of faith I had. And all of a sudden, I kept on praying and the door came open. And I'm saying to myself, while I'm praying to the God of heaven, it sure is weird for somebody to knock on the door and you don't tell them to come in. And they come in anyhow, and I was just thinking that was Nikita with 12 bags of groceries coming in the door, and I didn't open up the door for her. She's going to be mad at me because I just kept on praying, but it was my preacher. And he came and knelt beside me there at that recliner. He said, do you mind if I pray with you? And I said, no, sir, I don't mind if you pray with me at all. And he began to pray, and he began to thank the Lord. He began to say, God, he said, I sure do thank you for the Dallases, and I thank you for your touch on their lives, and God, I thank you for opening up the door in evangelism for them and filling up their calendar and taking care of their needs. And all of a sudden, his lip began to quiver, and he began to shed some tears. He began to say, God, he said, I surely thank you for the young Marine that just stopped by and had a checkbook and asked how much the down payment was. And God, I surely thank you that he wrote the entire amount out for $16,500 so the Dallases could purchase their motorhome. You say, Brother Dallas, again, how does that apply to me? Can I say tonight, my friend, your need may not be for God to make a down payment for you for a motorhome, but whatever your need is, God doesn't love Chris and Akita Dallas more than he loves you. And the same God that takes care of us is the same God that will take care of you as well. Amen. How many times has God ever worked a miracle in your life that we would say that's a miracle? I mean, if you're saved, that's a miracle. Amen. But I'm talking about God has specifically answered other prayers in our life other than salvation. And I know you're not like me. I know I'm the only one that's ever done this. No, I know everybody's done this. God will answer what we think is a miracle today. And then 2 weeks later, we need another miracle performed. And we say to ourselves, can God do that? Absolutely, God can do that. The same God that performed a miracle yesterday is the same God that is very capable of performing a miracle in your life tonight. And my friend, he does not change. And we get to the place where we have no faith when we lose sight of his power. First of all, when we lose sight of his promises, when we lose sight of his presence, when we lose sight of his power, and lastly, and I finish. Look at Mark chapter 4, look at verse number 35 again with me. Mark chapter 4, look at verse number 35. You said, man, those 5-minute messages really are long gone, aren't they? Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. The Bible says, in the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now look at chapter 5, verse number 1 again with me. The Bible says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the what, church? Gadarenes. Now, you may agree with me, or you may disagree with me. And if you disagree with me, when we all get to heaven, you'll find out that I was right and you were wrong, amen. No, you'll agree with me. I believe with all my heart tonight that when Jesus told the disciples to get on the ship and let's pass over to the other side, I believe with all my heart that Jesus knew exactly where he was going. He knew that he was going over there to the country of the Gadarenes because he knew that there was a maniac over there that had been living in the tombs and cutting himself with stones. And he knew that if the hand of God did not intervene in his life, that surely he was destined to a place called hell. Can I say lastly tonight, you want me to tell you how you and I get to the place where we have no faith? Lastly, when we lose sight of the Lord's plan, amen. His plan was always to seek and to save that which was lost. And my friend, you want me to tell you what will help increase our faith more than anything in this old wicked world that we live in? I'll tell you how. Show up for midweek visitation. Show up for Saturday morning visitation. Whenever you have it here at Calvary Baptist Church, put you some gospel tracts in your pocket or your pocketbook and go out to this community and knock on doors and tell little boys and girls and mamas and daddies about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will help increase your faith in this wicked world that we live in. My friend, when we find out what it is to get on board with the thing that is nearest and dearest to God's heart, then business is about to pick up when faith increases in our life. You say, well, Brother Dallas, I don't know the Bible as well as the preacher does. I don't have scripture memorized like somebody else does, and that's just why I'm not a personal witness like I should be. Okay. I think about the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary this world's ever known, wrote most of the New Testament that we have in this Bible right here. And 9 times out of 10, he was just telling folks what happened to him when he was on the Damascus Road. He was giving his personal salvation testimony. I'm reminded of a story that I heard some time ago. I read it in a book some time ago about Dr. Jack Hiles. Dr. Jack Hiles, pastor not very far from here in Hammond, Indiana, and at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And he'd gotten word that a mentor of his, a preacher that had took him under his wing when he was a young preacher, he was an old man now, the preacher was, and got word that he had gotten Alzheimer's and he was losing his mind. And Brother Hiles made the arrangements to fly from Hammond to Texas to visit this former preacher before he completely lost his mind or before he even went home to be with the Lord. And so Brother Hiles flew to Texas and got a car and drove over to the church. And when he got to the church that day, the preacher and his son was in the office, and Brother Hiles went inside the office and hugged their neck, and he began to reminisce about the past. And he began to ask the preacher, you remember when we had this Sunday school campaign, and you remember when all these lost sinners come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and you remember when you did this, when you did that, and that preacher just looked at him dumbfounded and couldn't remember anything that he was talking about. Brother Hiles said, well, do you remember this? Do you remember that? And the preacher couldn't remember anything. And after a few minutes of conversation, the preacher said, Brother Hiles, would you please excuse me? I need to go to the restroom. So the preacher stood up and he began to walk off to the restroom. He was gone for a few minutes. And Brother Hiles was on a very tight schedule. He didn't get back to the airport to fly back home to be at his church. And so Brother Hiles began to go look for that former pastor, and he began to follow that pastor down the hallway. Pastor had been pastoring the church for over 25 years. And the pastor, Brother Hiles, was watching him, and he opened up a door to the fellowship hall, and he said, no, that's not the restroom. He opened up a door to a Sunday school class and said, no, that's not the restroom. And he opened up another door. Couldn't even find himself to the restroom. Been pastor of the church for over 25 years. Tears began to stream down Brother Hiles' face, and he began to question God, how in the world could you allow this to happen to such a great man of God? The pastor's son said, Brother Hiles, come on back in the office. Dad will be back in just a little while. Brother Hiles went back in the office. A little while passed, and the pastor never did come. Brother Hiles knew that he had to go tell the preacher goodbye, hug his neck, let him know he loved him, and he appreciated the influence that he had on his life. And so Brother Hiles began to go look for that preacher again. And Brother Hiles opened up the door of the fellowship hall and said, no, he's not in there. Opened up the door to the men's restroom, looked on the stall and said, no, he's not in there. Opened up door after door, couldn't even find the preacher. And finally, Brother Hiles went to the very front of the church, and there was glass doors there that opened into the front of the church. There was glass doors there. And Brother Hiles saw that preacher outside through those glass doors talking to a young teenage boy. Brother Hiles snuck over to the door and opened up the door as quietly as he could. And that preacher that had Alzheimer's couldn't find himself in the restroom. He said, a young man, said, all you have to do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ will save you right here, right now. And the story goes where that young teenage boy bowed his head and called on God to save his soul. And he walked off, and a few minutes later, Brother Howes went over to that preacher, and tears streaming down his face. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "Pastor," he said, "how in the world just a few minutes ago I was following you. You couldn't even find your way to the restroom, but you were able just to lead that young man to the Lord." And that pastor said to Brother Howes, he said, "Brother Howes," he said, "I may not be able to find my way to the restroom, but I'll never forget my way to heaven." Amen. And can I say tonight, if you're a blood-bought child of God, let's quit using the excuses of how much Bible we know or how much scripture we have memorized, and just tell this lost and dying world what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Can I ask you tonight, child of God, is there something going on in your life tonight that you're like the disciples and you absolutely have no faith? You say, "I don't know how in the world I'm going to be able to make it." I'm going to tell you how you're going to be able to make it. You're going to be able to make it with helping God and having faith in God to get you through that storm of life. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight.